you and I know that our fears come from our past experiences. They come from our memories. Yeah. We carry those memories with us, but we don't carry them as neutral memories. We create a meaning, a negative meaning about those memories. Maybe some people who are listening and watching, they've seen their parents fail at business, or maybe they've failed themselves, or they've seen contemporaries fail. And they think, well, look what happened. They tried something and it didn't work. And these were the consequences of trying it.
You are listening to Wealthy Advisor Mindset Podcast, a show dedicated to helping financial advisors grow their AUM while enjoying a great quality of life by creating a high performance mindset. Guiding you on this podcast is none other than Nina Cook, a seasoned mindset coach who has worked with hundreds of business owners over the last decade to dissolve all their self-sabotaging behaviors and habits to achieve their business goals so they can have a much bigger impact and make much more money. Throughout the show, we'll deliver actionable strategies to grow your practice more easily and quickly, while revealing the incredible possibilities that emerge when you tap into your best self. Ready for a breakthrough that amplifies your impact and profits? Let's dive in.
So I just came back from a four-day trip in the desolate area known as Arkansas. Now, there aren't a lot of great things that have come from Arkansas, as you all know. I mean, let's face it. What's the first thing you think of when you think of Arkansas? And he wasn't all that great. But there is one good thing that comes out of Arkansas, and that is the White River and trout fishing. So I was there these last 4 days. Now, unfortunately, the fishing wasn't very good because they have a new dam manager and wasn't releasing enough water, but that's a whole other story. But I had the opportunity, me and my friend Kevin Ray, one of the jackasses that I talk about often, my fly fishing group. It was just the two of us and two friends of Kevin. Younger guys, both in their 30s, nice guys. They both are engineers for the power company in Michigan. And they're both avid fly fishermen or fly anglers. And they have started their own outfitter company. And by outfitter, I mean they sell apparel primarily and some fishing equipment. And, you know, when you do that, you're basically buying product from probably in China most of the time. And then you're putting your new logo on it and you're marketing it. And they've really got some neat stuff, some really good quality stuff. And as we were getting to know each other, they knew from Kevin that I advise a lot of business owners on how to run their business. So they decided they were going to pick my brain, which I didn't mind at all. I'm always eager to, you know, assist people. But with one of them who has the majority control, every great idea I gave him, which his partner would sit there and nod his head profusely like, ah, that's exactly what I've been telling you to do. The senior partner would come up with reasons why they can't do it. And it went on and on and on. One of the more interesting things was, and this is something I always advise against, is there was actually three people in the business. There's the senior partner, his wife, and then the junior partner. Now, in theory, they all own 33 and a third, but you know how that works. And one of the things I always recommend is that if you're going to have a, first of all, I never recommend you do business with your spouse, ever. There's very few examples where it's been good for the marriage that I'm aware of, right? Not saying it can't work, not saying you're not different, but I mean, I had the princess working for me for a number of years. I can't tell you how many times I had to explain to her that I'm talking to her not as her husband, but as her boss. And I don't want to debate this issue. We just need to get it done, okay? That is not good for a marriage when you talk that way. But as you all know, when you're the regular employee, you got to talk that way. Then you go home. But when you're their spouse, you go home together. So in any event, as we're talking, a couple of things became very clear. Number one, the spouse was a real problem. And the spouse doesn't really do much for the company. She does some of the QuickBooks, which they thought was a big deal. And like, you can just go hire an accountant to do it for you. It's not a big deal. A couple hundred bucks a month. We're not talking about a company that does huge volume yet. But the fact of the matter is that one of the things that was obvious is, one, they don't need the money for themselves. They've got good paying jobs. And whatever profits they're making should be going back into the business to market. Instead, what they were doing is they were using that to buy more product. Now, look, I'm all for having good product. But the reality is, until you sell it, you don't have a business. And so they really weren't doing much marketing at all. In fact, one of the biggest mistakes was there was no targeted marketing to people who had already bought something. They're always out there trying to find new people to buy stuff as opposed to creating things specifically for the existing owners or the existing buyers. So we got into a lot of that. All right, here's my point. I gave him a lot of what I thought were good ideas. And finally, I just got it frustrated. And I just said, look, the next good idea I give you, because I know you won't implement it, you will have to pay for it because people value stuff they're going to pay for. And so maybe in that case, but beyond that, I said, I've given you a lot here. And as I explained some, not stuff I created, stuff I learned from others. So it was interesting. So that was the end of that discussion. And this morning, the senior partner calls me to let me know that, you know, he wanted me to know that he did listen to what I said and that they were going to start doing a bunch of things. He started rallying them off. Not one of those things was what I told them to do. Not one. Absolutely zero. Okay. And then when I asked him about how about replacing your wife and getting her out of the business because it's not good for the business or your marriage. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. What about, you know, the targeted marketing and all that? All I got was, well, that would take a big effort here, there, and the other. And that, to which I had to point out, well, you could hire someone. All right. Here's my point. These guys are fearful. Bottom line, all these objections were out of fear. Fear that it wouldn't work. Fear that the spouse is going to get angry. I heard a lot of that earlier. Now, I'm picking on them, but you know what? They're not all that different from a lot of the other advisors out there. The truth is that fear holds us back. Fear prevents us from doing a lot of the things. So they started thinking about this. I reached out to my very good friend and co-author of the great book, Renegade Mindset, the great Nina Cook from England. And I said to her, well, she's here now, but I said, Nina, let's talk about this issue of fear. Let's talk about why that holds people back so much. And, you know, what is the stimulus of it? And but more importantly, how do we get over it? So, Nina, my dear, how are you?
I'm great. So good to be here, Dan. I love your story.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's great to see you. It's been a couple of months since we've laid eyes. We've actually never met. I was in Scotland last summer, but Scotland's not that close from where Nina lives in England. But we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. I'm going back to Scotland again in 2025. You just need to come up there and play golf.
Okay. I'll bring my golf clubs.
We'll make that work. All right. Now, I know that, I mean, you talk to a lot of business owners, not just financial advisors. I'm sure this issue of fear comes up a lot, does it?
It comes up all the time. And the interesting thing, Dan, is that often people don't want to think it's fear. They want to think it's the economy, it's someone else who's doing it. It's things which are out of their control. And it's very easy to make that excuse because then we feel like a victim and we can't do anything about it. It does take a brave person to actually face up to the fact that they are the cause of their resistance to taking the actions that would help them to grow their business. Just as those two guys, they're going to be looking for different things to focus on, spend their money on, implement, try things out. But none of these things are going to work until they actually face up to their fears and fix them. That's not an easy thing to do on your own because they're blind spots. We don't know that we have them. You have fears you're not even aware of that are holding you back. The same thing with me. I do this day in, day out with my clients, but I've got blind spots and I have to hire a mindset coach to help me to figure out what is stopping me. Even the most successful financial advisors, they know they could be doing better. There is another level for all of us. And that's the exciting thing about mindset because it's not just about growing your AUM. It's about your own personal growth. It's your confidence, your self-belief. When all of that starts moving, then everything else not just feels easier. There's more alignment because you kind of step into a new identity of who you are. I like to call it the 2.0 identity. Who has the success, who feels authentic, who doesn't worry about what people think about them, is able to take risks, face the uncertain future. And that is available to each and every one of us. But most of us will live a half life. We will hold ourselves back. We will build a prison wall, but we'll think that someone else is doing it to us. The world is doing it to us.
And then unfortunately, what happens is you get to a point in life where you look back and you start to wonder, what if? But you know, it's interesting. When I look at advisors, and I'll put myself in that group who've done well, I got to tell you, man, I've got a long list of things we tried that did not work. Okay. In fact, we're still doing things that don't work. And my attitude is, don't worry about it. Okay. We'll get over it. It's funny because when you see people who often have what you want, you just assume they naturally got it. And what they fail to understand is, no, there's a lot of toil that gets to there. A lot of mistakes get made. A lot of failures get made. And there is no easy button that you can just press and suddenly get it, although we want it. And I think what's holding so many people back is they look at, if this doesn't work, oh, this will be great. This will ruin me. Well, that's never the case. Okay. That's really not true. I mean, sure, you want to take all your money and go to Vegas and put that could ruin you. Okay. But if you're going to attempt a new market strategy, you're going to spend money on something. You know what? If it doesn't work, it's not going to be the end of the world. Chances are you'll get something out of it. It may not be the cure-all, but I hear that all. And of course, when I say that, people will say to me, well, that's easy for you to say. You know, you can afford to lose 20, 30 grand or whatever. It's not going to be that. Well, there was a time when I couldn't afford it and I still stuck my neck out. Now, and I failed a lot too. I mean, I remember when things, after I quit my job of 10 years, which was a very good paying job, especially when I think about what I made then, it still would have been a very good paying job today. But I wasn't happy. And in less than, I don't know, 3 years, I exhausted every dollar of savings that it took me 10 years to accumulate. I'd racked up close to $100,000 in debt. And I didn't regret it, but that was, and then things turned. That's what I was willing to go through. And that's what I had to. And I'm not saying I didn't have my anxiety, my anxious moments. I did, but I was willing to face it. So I guess the key question to you is, you know, how can we help somebody who is fearful, you know, who, like you said, you got to acknowledge it. But how do we help that person who has that fear of failure that so much that it ultimately becomes an inability to succeed because they're not willing to accept that get over that fear of failure? How do you counsel that for them? Because I can't think it's just positive thinking, oh, it's going to be fine. I think it probably goes beyond that.
Yes, we need to go way beyond that and get down to the root cause of why they have this fear. You and I know that our fears come from our past experiences. They come from our memories. We carry those memories with us, but we don't carry them as neutral memories. We create a negative meaning about those memories. Maybe some people who are listening and watching, they've seen their parents fail at business. Or maybe they've failed themselves, or they've seen contemporaries fail. And they think, well, look what happened. They tried something and it didn't work. And these were the consequences of trying it. So if I were to try something and it doesn't work, then that will reconfirm my belief that I haven't got what it takes. I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me. And I don't want that evidence shown to me. So therefore, it's easy for me not to go there. I'll just stick with what I'm doing, safe stuff. But deep down, I know I'm missing out. They know that. There's this stubbornness within us that I'm going to keep trying, but just trying on a low level. So for those people, it may be interesting for them to turn it around and think, we tend to focus on what we gain when we succeed. But what about the consequences of not trying? What happens when we don't try? So say a financial advisor or an entrepreneur knows what they need to do to get to the next level of their business. Maybe they need to increase their team or, you know, start a new marketing strategy, whatever it is. And they keep putting off. They keep making excuses. Well, I need to find out all about how it works first. I have to make sure I get the right person. It's going to take me a while. All excuses to delay that action. What are the consequences of not taking that action? What is it going to cost them? Well, it means they don't work with wealthier clients. It means they have a lower AUM. It means that their family can't go on holidays and all the rest of it. So focusing on the consequences of not taking action can be a really powerful way to start thinking, okay, I'm leaving a lot on the table. What can I do now in order to try and, you know, fix my mindset so I can start thinking about it in a different way? It comes down to a very simple thing of reframing your thoughts. First of all, realizing that you've made up a load of stories, limiting stories about your past. The past is not relevant. The only way the past is relevant is for us to look at key memories and think, what lessons can I learn from that memory? We've all had times in our lives where things have been scary, we felt powerless, and all the rest of it. But if we drag all of that past into our present moment and make our decision based on those limiting beliefs that we have, we're going to be making really lousy, poor decisions. So the first thing is awareness that you are the root cause of your fear. No one's doing anything to you. You are choosing to see the world in a particular way. It's the default old conditioned way of looking at it. But wake up and think, okay, this is what I've been doing so far. These are the behaviors and the actions I've been taking. They've got me the results that I've got up to this moment. I can carry on like this for the rest of my life because that's the easy thing to do. I don't have to put any effort into it. But when I get back to the end of my life, I know I'm going to look back and think, I wish I'd done things differently. So for anyone who's ready to make a change, they are fed up, they're frustrated with the results they're getting. You've got to make some deep changes in your thinking. If we look at people's results, they're not random. They're actually predictable. They're predictable because of the actions they take or they don't take, which are caused by thoughts, feelings. Thoughts and feelings are caused by beliefs. So go to the root cause and find out what it is that you are making up that is limiting you. So for an example, if we look at a pattern of behavior that's unproductive, it could be that you're resisting marketing your service. You think about doing it every day. You sit at your desk in the morning and you think, today I'm going to make 5 calls. I'm going to get in touch with prospects, ex-clients. That's what I'm going to do today. At the end of the day, you still haven't done it. You're avoiding doing that behavior because everyone can make time to do those calls. So what you need to do when you notice, when you become aware of this pattern of behavior that you're running, and awareness is always, always the first step. You can't fix something if you're not aware of the problem. When you have that pattern of behavior, write it down and then say to yourself, what do I have to believe to be true about me to keep running this behavior? If I'm not marketing, then what do I have to believe to be true? Well, I may believe that rejection is scary. I may believe that no one wants to talk to me. I may believe that no one's interested in my service, or my competitors are better than me, or no one's going to pay me that much. So I have to believe all this pile of BS about me. Yeah. That is what is running my life. That is the fear that I'm steeped in. Once you've got those limiting beliefs, you can do a number of things about them. You can just leave them where they are and carry on making decisions based on those fears, or you can find a way to dissolve them. Get them out of your life. And what you do is when you dissolve limiting beliefs from your subconscious, you create space. And that's where you start putting new productive beliefs in your subconscious. Think about what would the version 2.0 of me, how would they behave in this situation? Would they be resisting taking action? They wouldn't. They would be out there being confident. They're not scared of taking risks. They're not scared of failing. So it's really, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to carry on as you are, or are you going to make some fundamental changes in your life? Because no one is going to change it for you. You have to do it for yourself.
Are you frustrated with your inability to take the next steps to grow your practice? And worry that your same old tired strategies don't seem to work any longer? If this is you, then listen up. Nina has spent the last 2 decades coaching financial advisors and has cracked the code to growing AUMs, hitting bigger profits in your business, and achieving a higher quality of life. You can now get access to those secrets in her game-changing book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. In the book, Nina will share her proven process for success to take you from chasing clients to attracting high-paying ones by creating a success-driven mindset. So, if you're struggling with stagnation, then this could give you the breakthrough you've been searching for. This is different to anything you may have come across before. For being an awesome listener to this podcast, our team would like to gift you a free copy of the book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. You can get your free copy at ninabook.org. You only have to pay for shipping and handling. Once again, the link to get a free copy of this book is ninabook.org. The link is also in the description. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to grow your AUM and stop hustling for your next client. Now, back to the show.
I think the fallback fear is a financial one, because they, let's face it, most business owners, if they're successful, they're barely successful. You know, they may generate a profit that pays their salaries, et cetera, but there's a lot of potential out there that they're not tapping into. And what prevents them from doing far better, doing what their competitors can do? I think in many cases, there's just this fear that if I stick my neck out there, if I start using my own money, if I borrow money, then if it doesn't work, I'm going to be ruined. But unfortunately, you have to understand that that's the price. You putting money on the line, risk, is the price for getting the success. And I think that really, now, I've always said to people, look, you can go about this too. You can save up the money that you're willing to put fully at risk. Of course, once you save it up, you don't want to do that. But let's just say you did. Okay, you can do that. And you can say, okay, I've amassed $30,000, you know, over the last year. I've set aside the money every month. So it's not going to affect my lifestyle if this fails. Okay. You know, and that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to say to yourself, okay, if I do this and it doesn't work, what would it take to get that money back? How many clients would I have to get? And you'll be surprised. It's not like you go to go out and get 100 of them. You might get by with just one or two to pay for it. And if worst case scenario is I owe the money, all right, well, how long would it take you to pay that back? And I think when you do it that way, you start to realize it's not that big of a deal. It's not this, you know, oh my gosh, I'll be ruined. You won't be ruined. But you're going to have to be willing to do that. Now, I like your point about, well, if you don't do this, then what's going to happen? I mean, there's the fear of failure, but it's like, well, but if you don't decide to do this, are you going to be content just moving along? You know, that, I mean, that's the thing. I'm always hearing this financial fear. And that's the one that I think it's always the ace in the hole. You know, they'll tell you, oh no, I'm confident. I believe I can do it. But, you know, I'm just afraid of, you know, ruining my family financially. And what do you say to that when that's the one? Because I think that may be an excuse for something else, but it's still out there. I still hear it all the time.
Yeah, there's a deep belief that they haven't got what it takes, that they're going to fail at this. And, the fear of causing your family any distress is a big fear, because everyone wants to take good care of their family. They want to have a really nice lifestyle for them. So that can hold a lot of people back because they feel comfortable in the position that they're in. And Dan, not everyone's going to be an entrepreneur. Not everyone wants to be an entrepreneur because they just don't want to take the risk. They want to be in a paid job.
They want the success.
Which is predictable, but they're not willing to make the jump. And I do feel that there is a certain type of person who has that need to try it and do it for themselves. But it's the entrepreneurs who make that leap. And then they stay stuck at a low income level, or they stay stuck at a place where they're not happy. The number of conversations I've had with entrepreneurs who say, I should be much further along than I am. One financial advisor said, I'm 30 years behind where I should be. 30 years. So those are the ones who've made the leap, but then they've got stuck. They've got stuck in this place because they have the thinking which keeps them stuck. You can't take big action if your belief system doesn't allow you to do it. Because if you believe you can make a million, you have to have the belief system that means that you know you can make $1 million. For someone who's a belief system, they can make 100 grand. They're not going to be able to take those big actions. Change it at the root cause and think, what is my limit? How much do I believe I can make? Write down that figure, test yourself. How much discomfort do you have when you think, I could be a millionaire? Are you comfortable being at 500K? Are you comfortable being at 100K? And you see, numbers aren't scary. Numbers are neutral.
No, they're not.
What we do is we put the fear into numbers through our own perception of what a million means, or what 500,000 means, or what 100,000 means. It's all an internal job. So if you want to explode your income, you've got to start feeling comfortable around bigger numbers. And the only way that I've found, Dan, to feel comfortable around in bigger numbers is to go through dissolving beliefs that keep you stuck at particular levels of income. I had a client who was not able to get past the 250K mark. He'd been stuck there for a few years. Now, 250K is a decent income, but he wasn't happy with it. We had to work on lifting that cap for him. And it just came down to finding what his cutoff point was and then just keep raising the bar till he could get to 350, till he could get to 450, 500, 600. And he just started logically doing that as he opened his mind to, yes, I can make more. It's not scary. It's possible for me. When you have those beliefs, automatically you start taking a different set of actions. You start taking bigger risks. You start thinking bigger. So it was very logical that when you change your beliefs, your actions and therefore your results change organically. You don't have to fight to make it happen. You know that as you've grown your income, your belief system about what you can achieve has changed. Yeah. You keep raising the levels. And when you look back from how far you've come, when you were starting out, you probably couldn't have believed that you could get to where you are now. Right. So most people do it incrementally. Some people never do it incrementally. They stay stuck. I remember when I worked in corporate, I was stuck on 25K in the 80s. I could not move beyond 25K income. And so I had to do some work to make sure I didn't stay at that income when I started my own business, because I realized that there had been a pattern, a low income pattern going on in my thinking.
Yeah.
And I had to smash that.
The other challenge, and again, I talked about it with these two guys, but I see it all the time with advisors too. And your spouse is a big part of your life. And, you know, I think that where there's conflict among spouses, as far as where the business should go, you know, you got to work that out. And maybe the way you work it out is together, you figure out where the fear is coming from, because it could be coming from two completely different perspectives, right? And, you know, I know it's easy for me to say, fire your spouse. You can still fire your spouse, but if your spouse wants to know what's going on, he or she is going to know what is going to go on. And so while I left it with him, it's basically saying, well, just cut your wife out of the business. That's not really the great advice, because unless he's going to cut her out of his life, which he's not, and I don't want him to, you know, that's not going to change. So what we have to then do again is get to this, you know, what is preventing her or him from being as comfortable as maybe you are in pursuing it. But that's the challenge. I mean, they always say, you know, partnerships are bad. It's better to be your, but when you're married, you've got that. So I guess what we need mindset couples therapy to a extent, right?
I'm working with a couple at the moment, and it's such an advantage because they can work together. They can work on their goals together. They can work on their beliefs together. I coach them together. I coach them separately. It is such an advantage to be able to work with your partner and get on the same page. It is such deep work. It's transformative work.
It's almost a necessity because, again, I mean, unless you're blessed like I am where the princess is like, I trust you. I mean, that's great. Okay. Ignorance is bliss, whatever. But that's more the exception than the norm. So you got to kind of get on that same page, and you got to examine what those demons that are holding each other back. But they're going to be different, right?
Yes. And many of our limiting beliefs come from our childhood. It's watching how our parents what they were like with money. Yeah. My parents came over from India in the 60s. They came without anything. Wow. They were very, very frugal. Everything was cheap. You know, we didn't spend an extra penny on anything. Yeah. Now, I have a brother and sister. And my husband said to me, he said, I can't believe, given how your mum and dad were with money, that you and your brother and sister are so carefree about money, that you don't worry about money. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that. And I thought, I think I made a decision somewhere that I wasn't going to think about money like my mum and dad, because I didn't like the effects of how they thought about money and the impact it had on them. They were constantly worrying about it. So at some level, I decided to go the opposite way in my thinking about money. That wasn't a conscious decision, but I made a decision. So I would encourage everyone to think about where their limiting beliefs around money come, most probably from their caregivers. you can decide that the way that they thought about money was wrong. And you can decide that you're going to think about money in a completely different way. Because the problem with our belief system is that often it works against us. It works against our goals. It crushes our goals. It crushes our confidence. So if you've got something within you that's so powerful that's working against you, then you're going to be fighting and feeling frustrated. If you can create a belief system that works for you and that supports you in your goals, and this takes time, it's not an overnight thing. I completely get that. But if you can have a belief system that's supporting you in everything you do, that's really cheering you on and wanting you to win, then your life is going to be transformed.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Now, a lot of this great advice is in an incredible book called Renegade Mindset. And, you know, shockingly, Nina's going to make it available for you. Do they get the full download if they go to that?
They get the full download. We're not holding anything back.
We're going to talk about that later. That book ought to be like a $100 book. But where can they go at the full download of Renegade Mindset, which, by the way, is a book written specifically for advisors, right, that Nina and I did a couple of years ago. So what's the website that they go to get the download?
They can go to Nina, N-I-N-A, book.org.
Okay, ninabook.org is where you can go. And when you do that, you're probably going to get an offer to enroll in an incredible course that Nina put together specifically for advisors in this mindset issue as well. So when we work with advisors through our advisorpreneur program, this is one of the first things that we do is get them into this program, because I know that if you don't believe you can do it, you can't do it. Now, Nina's a lot more kinder and patient than I am. My attitude is like, dude, just get over it and move on or get out. Nina actually fixes people, which is great. Yeah. But thank you, dear, for being on the show.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Wealthy Advisor Mindset. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform to get notifications on upcoming episodes. If this episode made you think of someone who you think would benefit from listening to it, then go ahead, take a screenshot, and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends and colleagues. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description. If you are a financial advisor who is struggling to grow your AUM and profits while creating a great work-life balance, and you know it's because your mindset is stopping you, or you have a specific challenge in mind that you would love Nina's feedback on, go to chatwithnina.org and grab a time that works best for you. We'd love to see if we can help you. Once again, it's chatwithnina.org. We will see you in the next episode.